Welcome to Christ Today. Heavenly Father, thank you for all which you have given us, and thank you for all that you did not give us. Watch after us this day, in Jesus' name, amen. It is so easy to look back and to desire what we used to have. When we look back like that, we remember the way it was, or anyway, the way we think it was. Yeah, it's so true. Our memories are selective recall. That's the way it seems. And most of the time, it's a good thing for us because pretty much we don't want to remember everything, every detail about the choices that we made. And I just had a little reminder of that kind of a thing happening yesterday. I was part of this conversation, and one person said how she really loved being out in nature and just how beautiful it was in the woods. And the fellow that was there with me responded and said, yeah, I've been out in nature too. And you're not remembering how it really is. It is beautiful, but the temperature is too cold, and then it's too hot, and then the water is cold, and then it's hot from boiling water from the campfire. Oh, and then it tastes like smoke. Yes, and then there's the mosquitoes, and all the temperatures being too hot or too cold or just right, and then the mosquitoes come out. Yeah, there's just all sorts of things that we just don't remember. We remember some parts and don't remember others. And you don't have your normal stove when you're out camping, and your shower isn't normal. And so what's so great about being out in nature? Well, it is great, but it's just different from what we remember. Yeah, when I heard that, I just kind of quietly laughed because I've seen both sides of it, remembering the beauty and remembering the things that are really kind of uncomfortable. And just, it was a coincidence that just a few weeks before that, I had gone car camping on a 3-day trip. And it had been about 20 years since I had been hiking and slept outside. So there I was, sleeping on this thin mat on the ground. And it all went well, but as you know, just in life, we get little surprises, and I had one too. And I found out my body just kind of ached. Now, I've heard of people saying that when you go out camping, your body just kind of aches. It doesn't hurt, just aches. And I realized why on that trip, because I had been used to sleeping in a bed, a regular old bed. And now I was sleeping on this firm little mat. I realized that gravity pulls the outer areas of your body just a little closer to the earth than is normal. And so your muscles, they must stretch just a little bit. And that is why I think you get just a little bit achy when you go camping. So from that conversation yesterday to this morning on YouTube, there was something else going on. It was a discussion about an EMP attack on the United States. And it's just interesting how we look at things, what our perspective is, and what our view of what has happened or will happen. It's different from reality. So this program on the EMP presentation, well, I didn't like it because they were presenting it with fear, and I didn't like the way they were talking about it. They said there would be no radio, no medical, no trash pickup, no phones, no police to call, no heat, no food, no help. And I know that's what it was like in the past when we've had things going on like the World War I and World War II, and 9/11 was another problem that just kind of suddenly came upon us. And if we had an EMP attack on the United States, That's kind of how it would be also, suddenly upon us. And so this program was saying that you should get whatever it is that they were selling now and protect your family, protect yourself, and survive and thrive in the coming days. That's what their line was. Oh, well, I wasn't liking this program. And they talked about the things that they had a list of the things that you could have on hand to barter. And I thought, oh, yeah, so you're telling me that most of the population is going to die and your concern is going to be about bartering to get what you need? Oh, yeah. Well, my thoughts continued, and I thought about their attitude was not with compassion. It was about getting what they needed, and I thought, You mean you're going to see struggling, hurting, and even dying people, and you're going to think about your needs? Oh, well, anyway, I think I've talked about that program enough. I didn't like it, but I do realize that there's lots of people with lots of views, and we have to be discerning for what we hear and what we pay attention to. I think if you ever are in that situation where there's an EMP attack, I think a good thing to be concerned about is that the people that you run into have the opportunity to know what the gospel is about and to belong to Jesus Christ. And that way, after death, they will go to heaven and not hell. So that's what I think is really important. So it kind of makes me think now of John 13:34, where Jesus said, "A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you love one another." And the next verse reads, "By this all men shall know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." Well, Jesus' commandment, it's spoken up again in John 15:12, and it's about laying down your life for your friends, your friends who follow God's commandments. John 15 talks about that, and it's about if the world hated Jesus, the world will hate you who follow Jesus. It's a big, big subject. Love. Love is the cornerstone of Christianity. And there are other cornerstones as well. But right now I'm talking about perception and reality. And love is a good one too, always. So as we examine the concerns, don't let your concerns grow into fear. Fear is not what we want to have. Concerns and potential concerns, they're okay. They're good to examine. So examine what they are and make a plan about how to overcome your concerns. And then take active steps to reduce your concerns. That's, I think, the best plan. Everyone has concerns in life. They are just a part of living. Everyone has them. And they are different for each and every one of us. On a normal day, what is your concern? It's different for everybody, like I said. It might be repairing your car. It might be having a date for Saturday. Or it might be replacing your hearing aid batteries. You know, concerns, they come in all shapes and all areas. For some, their concern will be for the souls of others. And for a few, it'll be, well, let's just say money. Some people are so concerned about money. But about the souls of others, I think it is interesting about the interactions that we do have. I half laughed when I heard about this. A few weeks ago, I heard someone say, you can speak the truth. Not you can, but if you can speak the truth and not offend people, you can do something that Jesus couldn't do. Oh, I hope that's okay to say, but it just kind of struck me at the time. So, yeah, we will have all sorts of situations in life, and we are going to go through life and offend some people. But I think what we really want to do is be faithful. Lots of concerns that we have. That's just life. I think in life, money is always a challenge. I think it'll forever be a challenge because we just want more material things than we can afford. It just seems to be a way of modern living, probably ancient living also. But I think everybody in the world has this problem of spending more than they can earn. It's a problem that really shows up, though, when we get ready to retire. And somebody came up with these numbers that 1/3 of all Americans have 0 retirement savings. 1/3 of all Americans have $1,000 to $50,000 in savings for retirement. And 1/3 have $50,000 to $500,000 in retirement savings. But the point here is so many people don't have any savings. And that's going to affect all of us somehow. To me, it's just one of those indicators that points to one day we're going to have a whole lot of people who aren't going to be living very well, or anyway, not as well as they expected. If you take those 1/3 and the next 1/3 that have a little bit but not a lot, it's just going to be a difficult situation. I am surprised at the number of people who retire wealthy also. Wealthy because of their monthly retirement income checks. There's more than a few who get $5,000 or more per month in income. That's a lot. I think they must have been associated with a government type of a job or a group that they retired from. I don't know how else you can get that much retirement. Oh, unless you're in a specialty field. But I just look at the whole country and I say, the numbers, well, they're far from being equal. And even in the pension funds that are available for or paying out money for people, there's plenty of pension funds who are starting to run out of money. And they are going to run out of money. They are going to reduce their payments. And I'm not sure what that means, except people are going to have a harder time. We have other reasons for having hard times, too. One of them I always think of is our nation's national debt at $21 trillion. You know, I like to say that million, billion, trillion, and how it's represented in seconds. 1 million seconds is 12 days, 1 billion seconds is 32 years, and 1 trillion seconds is 32,000 years. It just gives you an idea of how enormous our nation's $21 trillion national debt is. And it's going to continue to grow. Historically, we have seen the patterns, and the countries that get to a point of having so much debt, they just somehow they collapse. Either their money system collapses or the country collapses. It's a depression type of event, and everyone gets poor, basically. Historically, that's the process. And it always takes place. It's just that it happens in different ways. Whether the country collapses or the currency collapses, somehow there is a collapse that happens. And there have been historians, the classical philosophers, who point to societies' moral decay as being the main cause for economic and political decay or collapse. So somehow there's just these parallels that move through society. I think it's reasonable to remember another factor that's going on here is a country's military might. And so that might prolong a nation's lifespan. And as you know, the United States has a very wonderful military. Well, whatever happens, it's going to be interesting to see how it turns out. Yes, it will, won't it? So in history, pretty much all nations have collapsed. In the last 100 years, there's been lots of nations that have had one surprise or another, and yes, they do. Effectively, they collapse. I know a year and a half ago, there was a surprise in India. In India, without any advance notice, the government gave its people a couple of days of notice, and then they said they had a couple of weeks to turn in all their old money and get new money. And in a matter of days, the old money was no longer usable, no longer acceptable. It would be useless. And the government of India took in those old bills, which were so many $10 equivalent to a $10 bill and a $20 bill, and they exchanged any old bills for an equivalent amount of $1 and $5 bills. That's the kind of situation we're talking about here, getting $1 and $5 bills to spend. And besides that, the government also, those banks, also promoted their electronic money cards. It's just surprising that this happened basically overnight and without notice, and all of a sudden the country had this come upon them. That's India, a huge country, and if it happened in India, I think it could happen here in our United States also. India and China, they both have very close to the same population. Very, very close. In comparison to the United States, India has 4 times the population of what the United States has, and India only has 1/3 of the amount of land which the United States has. So I think of if India could have a sudden money surprise like that, I think the United States also could have a big surprise like that. I think that the United States population is more docile than it ever used to be, than it has been historically, that's for sure. And I wonder why this is. I think of 2 reasons. One is because the population is getting older, and the other reason I wonder about is if it has to do with putting fluoride in the U.S. drinking water. That's basically happened since 2000 in a nationwide... it's happened nationwide. And the fluoride that they put into the water, it accumulates in the human body and does not very much get eliminated, not very much from the body. So fluoride is a substance that has been used in prisons and gulags in the past, and it was used to keep the prison population docile and calm. I've looked at a few studies, and Harvard is one of them. There's the Harvard study and 52 other recent studies who confirm that there is a correlation between the use and the absorption of fluoride and the impairment of learning and memory, especially in children. So that's a correlation. There's other correlations that just look as like they're indicators. Infertility one is one, and thyroid is another one, problems that develop. There's some kind of an association with fluoride there. But you always have to question the studies and just examine them, see what their own orientation is. But I think it's good to look at the studies and try to figure out what they do talk about. And who did the studies, that's important too. There's always lots of questions to ask about the studies, and there's lots of answers also. I think it's important to remember what is the important part. And when you look at anything, I think the important part is to pray for discernment, because that's our best way to understand is to have God's discernment, and you pray for that. Think about all these things. Yeah, think about discernment for what you hear over the radio, all radio. So just keep praying. Talk a lot and listen a lot. And make sure that whatever it is lines up with the Bible. Those Bible principles, they're right there. And remember the parts like compassion and love that are really big themes of the Bible. And sure, there's a couple other ones, and one of them is heaven and hell. So a lot of themes. Just pay attention to them. I think of another theme is not to mix certain things, is you keep things pure, like you don't mix salty water and fresh water. Or the Hebrew children were not to mix wool and cotton in their clothes. See, there's just principles that go on. And while I don't see them as requirements or commandments, I just think that there's probably a pretty good idea because they're in the Bible. And then you get to evaluate it all. I think of keeping pure in lots of ways, and that it's a good idea. Sure, keep your body pure. And to me, that includes vaccinations. I think that especially for innocent children, we want to keep them pure and free from vaccinations. But that's just my opinion, and every one of us has our own choice. We have free will choice, and we should exercise that. Examine what the consequences are of our choices. And a lot of them, we really don't have a real a connection between a decision and or a choice and the results. But we do the best we can deciding for the best we know how. And that's life. Because so many decisions we make in life have consequences. And often they're just different from what we would have expected. They're different from what we have been told to expect. And sometimes it's just because we're lied to. You know, I think back in life, and I think of plenty of times that I have been just plain lied to. Plenty of times. I'm sure that's happened to you too. And so it's important for us to have discernment and to make smart decisions as best we know how. But that kind of means we have to look at what all the different information is and for what the alternatives are. Sometimes we need help to understand. So let's keep talking to each other. Let's gather knowledge and understanding and prayerfully seek the answers. Even pray and fast. So that's a good idea. I think we're supposed to try to figure things out. God didn't make us to be robots to hear and obey. No, God made us to think and to choose a loving relationship with Him. And we choose to try to do what pleases God. And sure, we have our own desires, but where do you settle on? Do you settle on your desires or God's desires? Well, sometimes we just have to figure it out. Sometimes we have to figure out how we want to relate to whatever it is that we're facing, what is right in front of us. And then we think, and we analyze, and we make a decision. That's just a part of how life goes. So that's good. Well, let's look at a little different subject now. I've heard the release about the state of Texas just opened a gold depository in Austin, and its statement said it is concerned with the widespread debt that is occurring everywhere, and it uses student loans as an example, and that they have risen from $5 billion a dozen years ago to $1,500,000,000 today. That's a threefold increase. So we have other increases in our debt, and in fact our national debt is kind of similar. Here, let me look. In 2000, our national debt was $5.6 trillion. That was 2000. In 2008, it was $10 trillion. 2011, $13 trillion. And now, 2018, it is $21 trillion. As our national debt increases, the interest that we pay on our national debt also increases. Right now, we pay $310 billion of interest. And just think, that money could instead be going to help the citizens instead of the rich. So I think we would do better to have our budget balanced, but the legislature just doesn't seem to think that way. Well, back to this financial article on the Texas Gold Depository. In their article, they looked at Deutsche Bank and said that their net income had decreased by 80% in approximately the last year. And then it asks the question if Deutsche Bank will follow the path of Lehman Brothers, which is to say it went bankrupt and got dissolved. And that made an impact on our whole economy. So we've got things going on. A lot of people are getting concerned with what is going on. They get concerned with our Federal Reserve, and what can it do anyway to help? Can it do anything? A lot of difference of opinion there because of how the stock market is going and what the interest rates are. Well, that Texas depository recommended keeping 10% of your assets in gold. And the idea was you could keep your gold there, because they see uncertain times in our nation's future. And so they had that answer. Very interesting. I know that if you have listened to Christ Today broadcasts, you know that I have been a student of history and economics, and I see volatility in our future also. I see these trends, and I have mentioned other people who also see these trends. I name them, or I cite their articles sometimes. I do see this as what's going to happen, but the timing of it, that I don't understand. But I do see there's all sorts of issues that are just coming to the forefront of our attention. Lots of big issues, big forces are coming about. And they are in struggling with each other to dominate. There's forces like capitalism or communism or a military against another military or politicians versus constitutionalists or the entrenched bureaucracy or agriculture industries versus just a plain old industry. And then there's the climate change people. All these things are forces, one against the other. And they are all vying for influence, power and influence. And everyone has different interests, each one of these groups. And somehow we know that in God's plan, each one of these will yield to God's will, and it And that's reflected in the Bible. So as we see God's will and do it, follow it, we will be watched over. That's the way I see it. But if we don't do things according to God's will, what happens? We get consequences. Consequences, spiritually, in a worldly sense, and all sorts of ways. But for the world going the way it is going, I think it is reasonable to say that big changes are coming. I think everybody could examine whatever it is their thoughts are and the direction of their thoughts for themselves, for their family, and for the country. Pray for all these things. But evaluate what you hear, and that includes what I say. Come to your own conclusions. I give you things to think about, but they are my ideas, and I want you to develop your own ideas. I just hope to help you think about things a little more. Remember to look at, sure, the troubles, but the blessings most especially. We have so many blessings even today. There are issues that we have to deal with, and so many of the things that I bring up, I think, are issues that are a good idea to address. A few months ago, I talked about the 10 planks of, which would be the 10 principles of the Communist Party. And I said what those 10 principles were. I noted that those 10 principles had already been pretty well established within our government in an official way. If they're not completely installed in our government, they are definitely installed in some way or another. I remember a few decades back I heard someone comment that they didn't know why the Communist Party, the American Communist Party, should continue in America, because their 10 planks, their 10 principles, had already been fairly well established within the U.S. government. So here those 10 planks are, just quickly. They are: 1, abolish private property. 2, have a graduated income tax. 3, abolish all rights of inheritance. 4, confiscate the property of immigrants and rebels. 5, have a centralized credit and banking system. 6, centralize all communication and transportation into the hands of the state. 7, all factories and farms are to be controlled by the state. 8, all people will work at the state's direction for either industry or agriculture. 9, intermix industry, agriculture, and residential areas all across the nation they were involved in, the United States. 10, have free education for all children in government schools. So that's the basic list, and I did abbreviate it. I shortened the number of words used to describe, but the way I see it, that there's a communism, and those doctrines are very thoroughly in our public education and our public life. They want to keep people loyal and in line, and they use sticks and carrots, or punishments and rewards, to do that. And in a way, that's not different from any power structure. But it's a little different, because there's more privilege in a socialistic or communistic government than there is in a capitalistic government. So all these things are also reflecting the power that or how long a person or a group stays in power. So freedom is restructured, and it lets power dominate instead of freedom. So this subject of communism reminds me of how many communists there have been who have left a position in a communist country, the country of their birth, in order to live free in the West. And so many of them will come to the United States. It's quite a commitment to leave the country of your birth and come to another country. And if those guys are caught leaving, something pretty drastic happens. Many of them get put in prison, and many of them would be shot on the spot. That's communism. And I'm thinking of this because I heard the lecture of a man, I've heard him speak before, and this was an old lecture that he gave, an interview. And this fellow left the Soviet Union for the West in the 1970s. And I'm going to review that for you right now. His name was Yuri Alexander Bezmenov, and he was born to the equivalent of a Russian general who was his father. Because of his social standing, he attended university, and upon graduation, he was recruited into the KGB as a foreign spy. He studied how nations turn into a communist form of government, and that was his job assignment, to turn countries into communist-oriented countries. And he went abroad in his assignments just to accomplish this. He was assigned a Russian wife after a short time. That was while he was working in India. Now, you might find it uncomfortable to say he was assigned a wife, but that is pretty much what he said. He said the marriage was very difficult, and I think if he had not have had a difficult marriage, maybe he would not have defected. I don't know, but it's a good question. Well, he was in his early 30s, and he defected. He took a lot of effort to do it, and he took a lot of risk to do it. But he did defect, and he eventually settled in America. It was only him. He was alone. And in this interview, he described a four-step process about how to turn a nation into a communist nation. And I found this interesting, and I want to relate it to you, and you can see how it relates to the United States, what it means. So the goal, the orientation is to change the perception of reality for everyone in the country that you're trying to change. And if you change a person's reality and their perception of reality, they are unable to come to a sensible conclusion. And I think that's the way it's gone in the United States. People are having trouble analyzing information and coming to a sensible conclusion. He said that lies are a significant part of this strategy. Lies everywhere and at all levels. There is so much disinformation that it reaches a point where really no one, no citizen, can discern the truth. So to continue, step one is called demoralization, and this can take 20 years or it could take twice that long, because it must effectively influence one entire generation, or in this case maybe two, but the point is demoralization, and he said it has worked so easily, so wonderfully on Americans, that Americans are demoralizing other Americans. So it's not just the foreign spies doing it, it's a great deal of demoralization. He says that a demoralized person is no longer able to discern the truth. And even when a person is presented with the facts, They just cannot comprehend it. Not even until they are even if they are placed in an internment camp, they still don't get it. Step two is destabilization. And he said, expect this stage to last at least 5 years. And with this destabilization, people are only interested in their own essential needs. Those needs can include things related to money and the economy, or foreign relations, or defense systems. And I got the idea when he said defense systems, he was talking about both for the country and probably personally as well. But that is all a form of the destabilization stage. And then the next one is step three. There is a crisis where there is great disorder and there is great chaos. And he said that should typically last for months. Then comes step four, and it is done with great violence, where a change of power is brought about, and the economy and the structure of society and the structure of life is changed. It is restructured. And this is what the communists call a period of normalization. And this period of time can be indefinite. It just is as long as it needs to last. And this is what communist systems do everywhere. They make promises to everyone for everything. They just promise whatever those people want to hear. And then they never deliver on any of the promises. Their promises are worthless. Another part of this can be a benevolent dictator, which is placed into power. And he also promises the people whatever they might want. So people are fulfilled with promises, and they just kind of get neutral in how they relate. At this stage, the people cannot perceive reality. And nothing can change their minds. They simply have an idea and they follow it out. And no matter what you do, you can show them literature, you can show them pictures, you can show them proof of what is going on to convince them that what they're doing is not the best, but they won't believe anything except what is in their minds. And he says, not until a military boot crashes into their privates will they believe that they have been lied to. So this is the process, and this is the way they do it. He said, you should always be aware of your surroundings and the situation you are in. If you're not aware of your surroundings, it's easier for them to control you. It's the frame of mind. Of course, I thought about people who look at their cell phones and walk, who aren't aware of their surroundings. Well, anyway, back to this. Another part of this process occurs in the midst of violent times. Those violent times can only be a few days, and the people who are the opposition to the new communist government, any form of opposition or any influential people, they will be rounded up at 3 or 2 or 5 in the morning and taken away, and typically they are eliminated. This is the same thing that will happen to any collaborator, anyone who might be called a useful idiot. So there are things that happen, things that go on, and you should be aware of all this because it's a process. It's a known process. They also eliminate any people who might revolt, any people who might be dissenting. They require that everyone submits to the state And that's just the process. That's the way it is. And it is completely intentional that they want you to struggle in life. They want you to get the basics in life. And in that way, well, hungry people and struggling people are easier to control. And that's the idea behind it. Struggling people, hungry people, do not have enough resources to even think about revolt. So it's a plan. It's a process. This is what he said as an ex-KGB agent. He knows about how to bring a nation into a new system taken over by communists. And all these things are what he examined, including the social and political conditions. And as I look, maybe as you look, you can see that we probably are further along in this process than we would have thought. I think a very important thing to do is to pray for our families, pray for our nation, pray for our neighbors, all just continually pray, because there's so many issues in front of us that just need to be looked at in a righteous way. People need help. And I think it's a good thing to try to help people. And that's a part of life. And that's a part of why I like to have a preparedness orientation. It's to help other people. I think we always in life get surprises. That has come about historically. In history, we always see that troubles affect people. They're surprises. I see troubles coming to lots of areas in our country. I think it's first because God gave me a gift to see these areas that need attention, that are going to turn into trouble. And secondly, it's because I have studied history, and I've studied a whole lot more on my own than I learned in school. But it's interesting for me to see. I like to study. And what about the future? I cannot tell you what's coming. I certainly think about it. But to say I know? No, I don't know. And I don't know when anything will happen. I don't know how long the processes will take. I don't know what anyone will actually do to make things better either. So I always think about the preparedness part, because it takes time to actually do something. You have to get it in your mind, determine what to do, and then actually take the steps. And this probably, while surprises are happening, because surprises, they motivate us to actually take steps of preparation. These have happened all throughout history. I know when Belshazzar, when I look back in history, I see Belshazzar, and he was surprised when he saw the hand writing on the wall. And then that night, the Medo-Persian army invaded and conquered his city. That was a surprise. Something like that happened with the Trojan horse when the Greeks invaded and conquered the city of Troy. There was another surprise when that huge Spanish armada of ships intended to conquer England, and instead they were all smashed in a horrific storm. Yes, surprises do happen. I don't mean to go into ancient history too much, so I'll jump into the 1900s. In the 1900s, there was an EMP situation. No, not EMP, a coronal mass ejection, CME. And that happened from the sun. And what happened was it hit the Earth at the point where it went into the new transatlantic cable, and it caused it to fail. You know, like melt. So that was one event. In 1929, there was the stock market crash. There was the Great Depression, which followed and lasted about 10 years. Those were unexpected events. And then the wars. The wars were unexpected too. Anyway, to regular people, they were. There was a little bit of lead up, but it wasn't like people had much chance to plan. World War I, World War II, the Korean War, Vietnam, and the Gulf Wars. Those were all situations which pretty much came as surprises to people. They were not expected, but yet they happened. Look at the 2008 financial crash. That was not expected, and suddenly, there it was, it happened. Oh, I should have said 9/11. 9/11 happened. That was not expected, and yet there it was. All of a sudden it happened. Then the 2008 financial crash. Things happen that we don't expect. And I think what we do is we just take steps to have our preparedness orientation in order. Another thing I kind of look at is from last September, September 2018, the year was designated the year for peace and safety by the United Nations General Assembly on the International Day of Peace. Every year they do that. They do something, and this year was designated the year of peace and safety. And of course I thought of 1 Thessalonians 5:3, and I thought, it talks about peace and safety. When they cry peace and safety, then sudden destruction shall come upon them. Yeah, I don't know what'll happen, but I know it's in that time frame. It just makes me question, and it makes me cautious, because the peace and safety, that has connotations. So, all these things are good questions to ask, and I think it's only reasonable to look at what the possibilities are. What are the consequences of not having your preparedness supplies? What I see is that if you don't have any supplies, your situation is so serious. It can be grave if you don't have the basic supplies you need. So I suggest just getting basic supplies. Everybody will do that differently, and you get to figure what that means to you. Basic supplies. I like grains. Grains, a grain grinder, sugar, salt, and oil. But because all sorts of things can happen, they're just natural disasters can happen. There's the possibilities of an earthquake happening, or a tsunami happening, or a volcano happening. And these things seem to be waking up around the world. We are having more and more things. We're having strange events like strange floods, strange snows, strange cracks in the earth. All these things are showing themselves to be a question about what is going on. So you have to remember, especially though, your relationship with God through Jesus Christ. That is the most important part, and that we share with other people. We have a testimony, and we share it. But still, we live in the world, and we evaluate our concerns, and then what do? I like to say, we think, we plan, and we do. And don't be surprised if it takes you longer to do that process than you think and you expect, because it's just human. But I like to encourage preparation, preparedness, because when you have some things, it greatly reduces your anxieties. And sure, that's important, but our relationship with God is so important. We don't want to have anything draw us away from our relationship with Jesus. And as that, we think about Jesus as the light of the world. We want Jesus to shine in us and through us to the world of all humanity. Praying is good, and I think that's so important as the basic to do. But then we also think and we plan and we do. We share the good news of Jesus. That is the gospel, the good news. And we have our personal testimony ready. That is an important part of how we interact with people. And then we purpose in our heart to hear from the Holy Spirit. And we familiarize ourselves with the Word of God so that we recognize the speaking, God speaking to us. Pray for others and pray for the light of Jesus Christ to be in us and through us. That's a part of being a Christian. As a part of being a Christian is we serve others in a holy manner, always with holiness. Remember how I am always glad to hear from you, and that you can get a free preparedness pamphlet if you write me with a self-addressed stamp envelope. I'll be very glad to get that to you. Write to John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927. Thank you for listening to Christ Today, and remember you can always listen to past broadcasts at christtoday.org, www.christtoday.org. Thank you for listening, and until next week, may you walk with God, and may God walk with you.